ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो आई वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू द संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम। सो टुडे वील बी डिस्कसिंग वील बी टॉकिंग ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ वामनदेव अपियरेंस। वील बी टेकिंग द पास्ट टाइम ऑफ लॉर्ड वामनदेव, which is very elaborately described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So before I begin, I would like to beg the blessings of all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are present here, very enthusiastic and eager, coming from such far off places, taking such great trouble, sacrificing so many other alternatives and coming here to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I pray for your blessings so that I can be empowered to speak something on the pastimes of the Lord. The pastimes of the Lord are unlimited, as it is explained, just like the sky is unlimited. But still the birds fly according to their capacities at different heights. So similarly, I will try to speak something. So I beg the blessings of all the devotees assembled here and also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Radha Gopinath, Gaur Netai, Shri Gopal. So, tomorrow is Vaman Dwadashi. So, from the 8th canto, we will just go through the pastime. And there are various such lessons we can learn from the pastimes. So, what I will be doing is I will be narrating the pastimes, and as and when we get some lessons, we can discuss upon that. So, the Leela of Vamandev begins like that the demons and the demigods have a fight, and the demigods completely destroy the asuras, the demons. And as a result, what happens is Bali, who was the king leading the asuras, he gets killed. So Shukracharya, being a great Brahmin and educated in the Vedas, because of his severe austerities and knowledge of the Shastras, he somehow revived Bali Maharaj. So when Bali was revived, he became very grateful to Shukracharya, and he started serving him with his heart and soul and accepted him as his guru. So because Bali Maharaj so sincerely worshipped his guru and all the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, what happened was the demons became so powerful by that act, and they fought with the demigods and overthrew the demigods from the heavenly planets. So now the heavenly planets were occupied by the demons. So in the meanwhile, Aditi, who is the mother of the demigods, she becomes very aggrieved. She becomes very morose, sorrowful, because she finds that her children are no more in the heavenly planets. So it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Kashyap Muni, the husband of Aditi, he comes back after a long duration of tapasya from the forest, he finds that in his hut, in his hermitage, his wife is very morose. So Kashyap Muni asks Aditi the cause of her lamentation and grief. So she says that my sons have left the heavenly abode and they are nowhere to be seen. So I somehow want my sons to be brought back and reinstated in the heavenly planets. So Kashyap Muni, being very compassionate towards his wife, gives her a solution. So he recommends a payavrat, a fast and a kind of austerity and some regulative principles on the basis of just drinking water and milk. Payovrat. Payo means milk. Vrat means vows. So by taking certain Vaishnava vows, he told her to follow certain principles by which the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be pleased and will fulfill all the desires of Aditi. So here, then later on we can see that how Aditi, she starts performing the tapasya. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very, very pleased by her tapasya and appears to her. And tells her that I am very pleased by your tapasya. Therefore I have appeared. But I know that why you have been performing this tapasya. You want the demons reinstated back in the heavenly abode. That will be possible. Not only that, because I am so pleased by the austerities of Kashyap and you, your devotional service, I will personally appear in your womb as your own son. And I will perform the task of reinstating the demigods. So here we can learn various lessons. That Aditi performed a lot of tapasya in order to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her own son. So we can see that achieving the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot just come without any austerities. Obviously, because attaining Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest goal of human life. Something so big cannot be accomplished so cheaply. Therefore, the Vedic literatures explain, Tapo divyam putrakayana sattvam shuddhye tasmad brahma saukhyam tunantam. This is very important. Just like we can see that even in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appeared to Devaki, it was not before Devaki suffered tremendous austerities and sufferings. She was persecuted, she was tortured, she and her husband, she was put into jail, and she had to see the death of her 6 children. Not an easy thing for a mother to see her children die. And after such excruciating experience, only that Devaki could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead being born as her own son. So the Bhagavatam explains that tapasya is a very important constituent of sadhana. Because in our sadhana, we many times experience situations which are quite discouraging, and we feel that we should discontinue because it may not be so pleasurable. We feel that, you know, why not just take an easy life? Krishna consciousness seems very difficult. So a lot of tapasya, so many rules to follow, so many regulations to follow. But actually, if you see, tapasya is unavoidable. If you apply logic, in one lecture, one devotee was telling, or devotee Brahmachari Jagannath Prabhu was telling, that in Belgaon he has, you know, around 75% of the population working in mills, cloth mills. And it is like, you know, about 12 hours working. And not just 12 hours working, but you have to stand and work. You see? Because in the cloth mills, you know, you have these thread-like things which you have to... So you have to be very alert so that the threads don't break. So for that they have to stand. So around 12 hours of standing. And they work for 6 days a week, it seems. Approximately like that. So such a heavy tapasya. And they spend their whole life working so hard in mills, and only to spoil their health, to collect some money, and then they spend the wealth to earn back their health. So much of austerities. Also we find in Bombay, people are doing so much of austerities. I mean, if you see these local trains, you know, traveling every day in packed up, jammed trains, it's so difficult. You know, you are literally squeezed. And so much of discomfort. So, tapasya is unavoidable. Tapasya one has to do. So, therefore, it is said, tapo divyam. Therefore, tapasya you have to do. You might as well do it for Krishna. Divya tapasya. And then what happens? You can achieve Krishna consciousness. You can achieve the Supreme Personality of God. There is no need for doing any other tapasya. Because if you do that tapasya, then you again and again you have to come back to keep performing the tapasya. But if you do this tapasya, then all other tapasyas come to an end. And ultimately in Krishna consciousness there is no tapasya. As again he was quoting Jagannath Prabhu, he was saying that how when we go to, like we recently our Aivas Yatra went to Nandigram, a place where, you know, Bharat Maharaj performed a lot of tapasya. 14 years, he stayed underground because he thought that his worshipable Lord, Lord Ramachandra, was not ruling and he was performing tapasya in the forest. So therefore, I should also perform tapasya. And he was living underground after making a cave-like cavity in the ground. And all he ate was barley mixed with cow urine. That's all he ate. So much of tapasya. Not as an achar or something, but as a main diet. Main diet was barley mixed with cow urine. And we go to such places and we hear such pastime and we say, oh, what austerities, amazing. And we don't perform these austerities, certainly not. And then we go to Panihati and we hear how Nityananda Prabhu celebrated the wonderful Chida Dahi festival. And then we come back and we have Chida Rice. Wonderful feast. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is full of a lot of fun and ecstasy, isn't it? I mean, in one sense, if you see, even when we go to colleges, sometimes to give lectures, sometimes children are very enthusiastic. They say, wow, wonderful, you're coming? Very good, especially in schools. Young children, they like sometimes to hear Hare Krishna's coming and giving them lectures. Why? Because they find their school syllabus very boring. The teacher, same teachers come and say, A is equal to B is equal to C. And sometimes when Hare Krishna people go and, you know, they give a lecture, oh, and they're like stunned, amazing, oh, wow. But sometimes devotees find even Bhagavad Katha boring. Why? Because they got so used to it, they take things for granted. But outsiders can appreciate more. So, actually there is no tapasya in ISKCON. It's only feasting and chanting and dancing. So, the right attitude is important. Even though we may sometimes, it may become boring or it may become monotonous, the right attitude should be there. That we are coming here to please the Supreme Lord. Just like here, Aditi was performing the tapasya for pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So even though there may be tapasya in our persecution of Krishna consciousness, we should still go ahead. Just like Devaki had to see the death of her 6 children, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the 6 children represent the 6 anarthas within our heart. What is that? Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsarya. As long as these things are there within our heart, it is not possible for us to be able to get Krishna. It is very difficult. Because Krishna is called as makhanchur, which means that he eats butter. And butter is generally soft. So when our heart is as soft as butter, then Krishna will come and steal our hearts. It is not possible for Krishna to come and reside in our hearts when it is filled with all these dirt-like things like kaam, krodh and all these anarthas. And therefore, if we see, only if we eradicate these things can we actually achieve peace and happiness, and then only can we achieve the mercy of the Lord. Just like if you are having now, you're taking beautiful darshan of the Supreme Lord, but all of a sudden if you have some dirt go into your eye, what will you do? You will not think, well, you know, let me take darshan, later on I'll remove that dirt. Immediately you will remove it. Why? Because it's irritating. When there's dirt in your eye, you have to remove it. Immediately, it's an urgency, isn't it? You cannot be peaceful. So similarly, the heart, as long as it is full of dirt, it is very difficult to be peaceful. So one has to very emphatically understand this fact that peace can only be achieved when we purify our hearts of these basic anarthas. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. This is a very important aspect of devotional service. Another thing we can understand from this is that even if, like we see Aditi, she desired material opulence. So Kashyap told her to approach Krishna. So even if one desires material opulence, one should approach Krishna. Therefore, the Shastras explain, Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yachite purusham param. That even if you have all material desires, or if you have no material desires, still just worship Krishna. Go to Krishna and your desires will be fulfilled. So this is a very important principle. Only the thing is that attitude should be changed. and then Krishna will give us. Just like Srila Prabhupada was once asked by his disciples, Srila Prabhupada, how can we raise funds for ISKCON? Srila Prabhupada said, there is no problem of raising funds. Krishna is Lakshmipati. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune. How much you want, he will give. Question is that, if you get it, what will you do with it? Will you use it in Krishna's service or use it for sense gratification? So, when Krishna is convinced that you are going to use it for his service, then he will give you how much ever you want. Similarly, when Radhana Swami was here and there were devotees describing that how we need more space. And His Holiness Radhana Swami mentioned that when Krishna is convinced that every square inch, every mm of this center is utilized optimally in Krishna's service, and when Krishna sees that you really need more space, then Krishna will give it. So that is what it is. So that attitude needs to be changed, that we have to worship Krishna, we have to use things in Krishna's service, and then Krishna will give. And we can see that. I mean, parents do that with their children. Sometimes children get bad habits of stealing money from the cupboard and, you know, purchasing some things here and there. I still remember my uncle got scolded once because when he was young, he had purchased, some puppies and brought it home. And mother, how did you get this puppy from? I got it as a gift. But the fact was that he stole from the cupboard and purchased that puppy. And when mother came to know, my grandmother came to know that he had stolen money from the cupboard, then she became very cautious and she started locking the cupboard. Because when the mother knows, parents know that our son has got bad habit of stealing money from the locker, then better to lock it. So whenever the son is there, cupboard is locked. But when the son becomes responsible and he starts thinking that, you know, I should really serve my parents, manage the accounts or something like that. And then the mother will herself call the son and say, yeah, take the chabi, open the cupboard and just see how much money is there and just settle the accounts properly. So similarly, when Krishna is completely assured that we will not misuse the Lakshmi, then Krishna will give unlimited. Krishna will give whatever we need. But just the attitude needs to be changed. And that when Krishna is convinced. So this is a very wonderful thing. So it is described that the Lord appeared in front of Aditi in his 400 form and told Aditi that I will appear as your son, but keep it as a secret. Do not reveal this to anyone. And the Lord entered into the heart of Kashyap, who was performing tapasya. When Kashyap Muni realized that now his heart has become the residence of the Lord, he impregnated his wife and she conceived. And very soon, Aditi gave birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his 400 form. So the Lord appeared in 400 form, like Shankh, Chakra, Gada and Padma. So now this is also very instructive. Many people, they don't believe that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead just because he was born in this world. No. Just because he's born, it does not mean that he's ordinary, just like us. Krishna explains, Janma karmach me divyam evam yo vetti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma neti mameti sorjana. That just by understanding that Krishna does not take birth like us, Janma karmach me divyam, just that his birth is transcendental, it is divya. Evam yo vetti tatvataha, then what happens? Then, tyaktva deham punar janma naiti. That such a person does not need to take birth. If you just understand Krishna does not take birth, we also don't take birth. It's a very simple formula. And what happens? We become free from death. Recently, I was just going through one statistics, and that it is explained that how in a day, there are 1,50,000 people who die. So I just made a calculation. That means there are about 10,000 people who will die by the time I finish this seminar. By around 3 o'clock, 10,000 people are dead today in 1.5 hours. That means, generally when we perform such seminars like, you know, happiness seminar or six-session course, generally ask the people, what is the greatest crisis of this world? What is the greatest troubling? What is the greatest problem of the world? Miseries of this world. And people say poverty. People say, lack of education, discrimination, etc. But people don't understand that actually death is the greatest problem. Because when 9/11, the Twin Tower crash took place, people were very foxed and people were very disturbed, thinking that 3,000, 4,000 people were killed. But actually we see that death is such a great crisis because 10,000 people are dying in just 1.5 hours. 1,50,000 people die in a day. And people just don't see it as a problem. So therefore, it is explained in the Shastra, just by understanding, simply by discussing the pastimes of Krishna, we become free from death. How? To accept simply that Krishna does not take birth. Simply. And what prevents us from doing that? Envy. So therefore, if we just give up that attitude, then we can actually transcend death. So it is described when the Lord appeared, he appeared in his four-handed form, Shankh, Chakra, Gada and Padma. And the Lord then converted himself into a beautiful dwarf form of a Brahman Brahmachari. He was very attractive. It's a dwarf. Actually, the Shastra has explained that he was not a dwarf. He's not a dwarf. Because dwarfs are generally, if you see dwarfs, they have like stubby fingers and they have like a flattened structure. They look big, but they are kind of reduced in size. They're not so pleasing to look at. But it is explained that he was not a dwarf, he was a midget. The midgets are like small sized people who look just normal, but their size is small. So actually, it is explained that Vamandev was very beautiful to look at, even though he was small in size. So it is explained that Vamandev was dressed with a gamcha which was made of grass, and he was holding a water pot in his hand. He was having a danda and he was having an umbrella, and all the demigods came and gave them beautiful gifts. Gave them beautiful gifts. And the Lord was so beautiful to look at, extremely beautiful to look at. So this is the beauty of the Lord actually. Everyone is attracted to looking at beautiful people. They're all attracted to beauty. Why? Because we have all seen the most beautiful person in this world, that is Krishna. So we can learn this. Therefore, if we see that if we just persevere and worship and do the sadhana properly, we can actually meet the most beautiful person. We can actually get him, accomplish and get his service. Like in the Shastra, there is the story of Danudas. In the Sri Vaishnava tradition, that how he was attracted to a very beautiful girl, and she was so attractive and her eyes were so beautiful that Danudas didn't observe that the procession of the Lord was passing, and he was holding an umbrella over the girl's head and he was doing chamar for this girl, and Ramanujacharya was looking at him and was shocked that what is he doing. I mean, he's in front of the Lord and he is so much attracted to this girl's eyes. I mean, why is he fool or what? So Ramanujacharya sent some of his disciples to him and says, just why don't you call him here? And he comes and he says, what are you doing? You're worshipping this mundane beauty. Why don't you worship the Lord? So he says, what to do? I've never seen anyone more beautiful than this girl's eyes. If you can show me something better, then I will accept and I will serve that person. Ramanuja said, "Why? Wonderful, I will show you, come." And Ramanujacharya takes him to Sri Rangam, the deity Sri Ranganath. And by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, Dhanurdas could get the beautiful glimpse of the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And looking at the beauty, he immediately gives up, chasing after the mundane beauty of this world, and becomes a disciple of Ramanujacharya. So therefore, if we are attracted by the beauty of Krishna consciousness, this is nothing like it. And in fact, we are all attracted by the beauty of Krishna in some way or another, either in the form of, prasad, or in the form of, maybe probably lectures, or in form of devotee association. This is all actually the beauty, expansion of the beauty of Krishna. So if we just somehow get that taste of the beauty of the Lord, then somehow we can go on in our sojourn of Krishna consciousness. So as soon as Vamandeva was born, he goes ahead to accomplish the task for which he was advented. So he proceeds north to the place where Bali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice. So there, Bali Maharaj was performing huge sacrifice, worshipping the Brahmanas, giving charity in order to become more and more powerful in his exploits. So that time, Vamandeva appears in the scene. So as soon as Vamandeva appears, Bali Maharaj glorifies Vamandeva, saying that, "Oh, you have come. The place where I'm performing sacrifice has become purified. Blessed by the footsteps that you have set here. Tell me what you want and I will fulfill all your desires." And he promises Vamandev that he will give him charity, whatever he desires. So Vamandev asks for 3 steps of land. He says, "Bali Maharaj, I want 3 steps of land." So here is a lesson. Prabhupada explains in the purport that Vamandev is actually setting an example of how renunciates, people in the renounced order, should live. They should only accumulate that much which is required, not more than necessary. One should not be greedy, accept only what is required. So this is a very important principle. You know, it is very amazing to see that how there are people who catch monkeys in the forest. It's very amazing and very interesting. If you see the hunters, they go to the forest and where the monkeys live, and he goes and makes a hole in the bark of a tree. And then, in the presence, when all the monkeys are looking, he puts some peanuts into the tree bark, into the hole, and he walks aside and he moves aside and he sits there. So the monkeys are very excited to see what is it that is kept in that hole. So immediately the monkeys come down and they look inside and they find that there are peanuts. And they put their hands inside the hole and try to grab the peanuts. But the catch of that thing is that it's a trap, that the hole is only big enough that an empty hand can go inside. But if your hand is full, it won't come out. So the monkey puts his hand inside and he grabs the peanuts. But the moment he grabs it, his hand cannot come out. So he's trapped. And he's confused. "Why is my hand not coming out?" And then he looks, the hunter is walking towards him. And he's thinking, "What is this? But I will not give these peanuts up. No. I'm attached to these peanuts and I will take it." So somehow or another, he struggles to get the peanuts. But at the same time, he wants to run away also. But his running away is dependent on him leaving the peanuts. But he thinks, "No, I will not." He somehow struggles. The man comes, binds him up and makes him a captive for the rest of his life. So it is interesting to see that how monkeys are caught. Amazing. But actually, every living entity in this world are caught in exactly the same way. Just because of greed, trying to enjoy Krishna's energy, he gets trapped in this world. And the desire to enjoy this world becomes itself the trap. And he himself does not want to get out. So this is a very precarious condition. So therefore one must give up greed. And greed is such a way so that it creeps in without one knowing that one has become greedy. One feels a necessity for more and more. Sometimes even within the association of devotees, at least maybe there are many people who may not be so advanced, who have just recently come, and respect those who are more wealthy or, you know, are more materially opulent. So the rest of the people feel that it is very important to get respect, and therefore it is better to work for material accomplishments and acquisitions so in order to be respected within the Vaishnava community. So sometimes it drives us to, you know, strive materially to become more established in the material world in order to be respected amongst devotees. That also could happen. So one very subtly develops the attitude of getting more and more without realizing that he has become greedy. Therefore, a very effective training and sadhana and guidance is required in order to know that when ambition becomes greed and when greed is not exactly greed but ambition. Because what is going on outside in the name of ambition is nothing but greed. Just like Prabhupada tells the story of a brahmachari who was the disciple of a sage, of a guru, and said that you please sit here and do some meditation, and after a few months I will come and I will meet you and we will see your progress. So he sits under a tree and he starts meditating. So he had his gamcha and he had his loincloth. So after some time when he opened his eyes, he saw that a rat was nibbling on his loincloth. So he's saying, oh my God, this is very bad. So then he thought, what to do? How can I drive away this rat? So he purchases a cat. So after some time he thought, now I should meditate peacefully on the Supreme Lord. And he started sitting and started meditating. Then all of a sudden he heard a sound, meow, meow. And what is this? Why is this cat disturbing me? Someone suggested that maybe the cat is hungry and you need to give him milk. So milk? Where do I get milk from? You need a cow. That's it. Oh wow, wonderful, that's good. So he goes into the market and asks the price of a cow. But it was expensive, so he thought, let me take up a job. So he takes up a job, gets money and purchases a cow. And he thought, now that's good. Whatever little time I have, now I can sit and meditate peacefully on the Supreme Lord. So while he was sitting peacefully and meditating, the cow was screaming, moo. So he was thinking, my God, what is that? Someone suggested that the cow is hungry, you need to feed it. So he said, I can't take care of all these, so much of maintenance of the cow. What should I do? So someone suggested he should get married. So then he got married and he got settled. So after some time, after a few months, his guru comes there and to the tree and finds that there is no tree there. In fact, he finds a big house. So he goes to the house, knocks at the door, and the girl opens the door and he says, well, where's my disciple, so-and-so, so-and-so? Oh yeah, he's inside, he's coming. And so guru goes inside and his disciple comes out and he falls at the feet of his guru and he said, well, what happened? I told you to meditate under this tree. He said, yes, 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 I was doing that. But you know that loincloth, that rat, and that cat and the cow, and you got stuck. Oh, he said, sorry, I got carried away. So this is actually the nature of material energy, that it pulls us into more and more and more and more entanglement. And it applies to every walk of life, whether one is a brahmachari or grihastha or vanaprastha or sannyas, where one feels the need for more and more things in order to be satisfied. So here, Vamandev is saying that just three steps of land, that's all I need. So Vamandev, next he praises Bali Maharaj. He says, Bali Maharaj, your family is so glorious. Because in your family, no one has denied charity to the brahmanas. So here, Vamandev is explaining that how important is charity, how important is purity for the brahmanas, and how important is charity to the kshatriyas and to the householders. That charity is a very important principle we need to give. Another thing is that how important it is to have a great ancestry. So here he's saying that because you have such great forefathers like Prahlad himself and very great souls as your forefathers, you are also following in their footsteps by giving charity. So this is what happens when you consider that our forefathers are great souls like Kashyap, Vasishtha and all the Saptarishis, and they are our ancestors. But these days we see that this modern propaganda is that we have come not from sages, but we have come from protoplasm, single-celled organism, and monkeys, from the branches to the monkeys. So especially in schools, you find that teachers, when they see the students, when they are becoming very mischievous, they say, well, you have come from the branches to the benches. So what will the students say? Well, that's what you're teaching. So what do you expect from us? So this is the problem in the modern education system, that there is no glory in trying to understand that we are coming from a single-celled jello or a protoplasm from a primordial soup, You know, that's our ancestors. What is our ancestor? Primordial soup, cytoplasm, and all those, a Big Bang, and monkeys. But when you consider that our ancestors were great saints like Kashyap, Diti, they were great saints, and then we think that we should be walking on their footsteps. So the main thing with modern education system is that there is no cultivation of values. One does not think the need to be moral and sane human being. One can just throw out all morality from the window just because what is life? Life is based on physics. Interesting thing is that the materialistic science puts physics as the basis of all of existence. Initially there were laws of nature, an explosion by the laws of physics. And then comes what? Chemistry. There were chemical reactions, and then there was jello and protoplasm. And then comes what? Biological formulation of life. And then comes psychology, and then comes, you know, human interactions, and then comes probably spirituality. But actually the Shastra has explained that spirituality comes first. First was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who created everything. And that's why Srila Prabhupada says that you're speaking about Big Bang, but when there is a Big Bang, there has to be a big brain behind it. Always. Whenever there's an explosion, you always ask, who created that explosion? There's an investigation. So why don't you investigate? Why don't you go further and ask, who created that Big Bang? So the problem is that, because of the modern education system these days, people are being misled. So the Lord asks for charity. Very important thing is that the Lord doesn't need anything. But still he asks for the benefit of his devotees. Because giving does not benefit him, giving benefits us. Another aspect which Lord is trying to establish is that Lord is showing that how humble he is. This is his opulence which he is manifesting of his humility. Just like in the first canto, the Lord is introduced as being Partha Sarathi. So this is a very, very rare thing for a very wealthy person to be a driver. It's very, very, it's a humbling experience. Just like when I was in Tirupati, I boarded the bus from the top to come down. And when I was sitting on the first chair, first bench, I happened to put my leg onto the, you know, those rods, as I was explaining once before in a previous class. I just put my leg on the rod, on the aisle behind, and I was sitting right behind the driver. There was no one between us, but he was a long distance away. And the driver, he looks back and he looks at my feet and he says, how dare you put your feet towards me? Put your feet down. And he was a driver. And I was not even actually, we were far away. So such is the ego that people have, that they cannot tolerate insult. And here we see the Lord is taking the position of a chariot driver as Parsarthi, and he's taking the position of a beggar. So here is Krishna who's begging from his own devotee. So humility is a very important principle. Also we can see that how in the sacrifice ceremony of Yudhishthir Maharaj, he had called the people for the participating. And of all the departments, Krishna chose to take care of the slippers of the guests. He was washing the feet of the guests. Why? Because everyone was so puffed up that they couldn't take up that service. But Krishna was so humble that he actually took up that service of washing the feet of the great saints who came there. Very important principle of humility. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained, in the process of achieving Krishna consciousness, amanitvam adhambitvam ahimsa shantar arjavam acharya upasanam shaucham sthairyam atma vinigraha. That amanitvam, or the humility, is a foremost principle in Krishna consciousness to achieve the knowledge of Krishna. Just like even in the Christian tradition, in the Bible, there is an incident how when Jesus was sitting with his apostles and he was having his last supper before he entered into Jerusalem and he was arrested by the Romans. So at that time, he made a prophecy that he will be captured, he will be arrested. And this is his last supper with them. And one of his apostles will be betraying him. So that time he got up from his seat, took up a jug, and he started washing the feet of his apostles. And his apostles were surprised, what is Jesus doing? And Jesus said to them that, I am washing your feet to teach you that this is what you should be doing to each other. Because after me, you will be taking up the preaching mission. So here is Jesus giving the basic principles of spirituality of humility. Humility is a very, very important principle in spirituality. Without humility, one cannot learn anything. One cannot progress in Krishna consciousness. So Bali Maharaj, he sees Vamandev standing right in front of him and he is very charmed by the beauty of Vamandev. But at the same time, he is very disappointed because he is such a great king and Vamandev is asking for only 3 steps of land. So he was a little disturbed. So Vamandev further speaks to Bali Maharaj. He gives instructions to Bali Maharaj. He says, Yavanto Vishaya Apreshthas Trilokya Majitendriyam Na Shaknuvanti Te Sarve Prati Purayetam Nripa. So he says, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds, it cannot satisfy one's senses if a person has not controlled his senses. Even if Yavanto Vishaya Preshtas Trilokyam Ajitendriyam, that even if you get the opulences of all the Trilokyam, of all the 3 worlds, Ajitendriyam, but if the person is not controlled his senses, then Na Shaknuvanti Te Sarve Prati Puriyetam Nripa, that it is not sufficient to satisfy that person. So here Vamandev is explaining the principle of satisfaction. That satisfaction comes not from gaining more and more things, but by controlling one's senses. So this is a very, very important principle. As it is said, that there is sufficient for everyone's need, but there is not enough for satisfying a single man's greed. There is sufficient to fulfill everyone's need, but there is not sufficient to fulfill even one man's greed. This is what it is. And people sometimes feel that, you know, well, ultimately I want to just work so hard so that I can collect enough money so that I can be comfortable later on and practice Krishna consciousness. Sometimes even in devotional circles, we may feel the need to get more money quick so that we can, nothing wrong in that, but we must be careful, because when there is more than what one can collect, what one can use in Krishna's service, it may lead to other problems. Because unnecessarily collecting things leads to further contaminations and problems. Like in the pastime, in the 10th canto of Nalukuer Manigreev, it is explained that Nalukuer Manigreev was completely intoxicated and they did not see that Narad Muni was approaching. They were the sons of very great, wealthy father, Kuer, the treasurer of the demigods. You can imagine how wealthy he was. So there, it is explained that he was completely intoxicated, such that they didn't even notice that Narad Muni was coming. So when Narad Muni came there, they didn't notice, and they were bathing naked in the water along with the apsaras. So Narada explains, so Srila Prabhupada explains that with wealth comes various kinds of problems. What happens? It is explained that with wealth comes licentiousness, loose behavior, disregard for anything spiritual, disrespect towards saintly people, false ego, etc., etc. And that's a fact, and we can see that it is very difficult to find humility amongst very, very wealthy people. It's rare to find such an attitude of humility amongst wealthy people. So why? Because of the contaminations which may come along with wealth. So therefore, in order to be always careful that one does not slide down the people at those times, especially the Brahmanas or those who are interested in self-realization, saw to it that they only kept how much they need. Because the moment there is extra, then naturally we think that the mind takes over and thinks that, you know, well, why don't we, you know, do this? Why don't we do that? Because the mind is so dangerous that whenever there is an excess and one is not capable and trained to use it in Krishna's service, then naturally the mind will think, let's use it in sense gratification. Just like sometimes we think, let's work very hard and then during the weekend we may go to the temple. But then when there is weekend, we think, let's just sit back and relax. You know, after all, I'm working so hard during the week. And we are more Krishna conscious while we work and less Krishna conscious on holidays. Because the moment there is free time, the mind thinks that let us somehow use in Krishna, let's use in sense gratification. That is a general tendency that the mind, whenever it has got some extra things, it uses in sense gratification. Therefore, it is very important to be very careful that if one has got something extra to dovetail in Krishna's service, and that needs training and practice. Just like recently when I was in one of the hospitals, there one devotee was telling us that how there was a student, an MBBS student, and he was a very wealthy man, and his father would keep a lot of money in his bank, around 1 or 2 lakhs he always had in his bank account. But one day the students of the hostel discovered that there was a problem. Someone was stealing the mobile phones, and it was reported to the police. Police came and did an investigation. The police suggested that you should go to this, you know, this nearby Hirapanna, and go there and investigate. Go to various shops and say that I want the mobile phone of the number which you had, the model number of the mobile phone which you have lost. And if you find your mobile phone on sale on the counter, you'll know that it is your mobile phone. So that means then you come to us and tell us that it is there. So these people who lost their mobile phones went to Hirapanna and went searching in the various places, asking that I want to purchase a mobile, do you have second hand? So they all started showing over the counter. And many people discovered their mobile phone was on sale over the counter. So they went to the police and said, you know, we saw our own mobile phone there. So the police went and investigated, found out that person, the shopkeeper, and said, how did you get this phone? So that someone, boy, sold it to us. So then the police went, and they had a suspect that there was probably one of the students of that medical college. And then he came, police came along with that man and identified, showed this person. This is this boy who stole the phone, and they identified it. It is this. Now that boy was so wealthy person, but he had, who was into just stealing phones out of everything. And when the police investigated, he had so much of money in his bank account. So why was he stealing? So he was asked, why do you steal? You got so much money. Why didn't you use the money in your bank? That is, he said, because my parents ask, you know, what happened to the money? But he said, but you already have a mobile phone, a very expensive mobile phone. Why do you need to purchase another one? He said, no, I need to purchase new phones every month. You know, I just like it. I can't stay without it. So he had entered into a trap, you know, a kind of an obsession, which he couldn't avoid. But every month, who will give him money? And if he keeps withdrawing from the bank, his parents would know. So he was resorted to stealing. So he would just steal, sell the mobile phones, get money and purchase another mobile phone. So you see what happens when there is money. It could lead to perversions. It could lead to various kinds of other bad habits. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati writes that when there's a lot of money, it could lead to meat eating and frivolousness and disrespect. And there are so many other problems. When you have a very big house and you have 10 and 20 securities and dogs at the door barking at anyone who comes in the door, how can saintly people ever enter your house? I mean, in the Vedic custom was saintly people would go from door to door, knock on the door. Bhiksham dehi. And a simple person, poor person would open the door and say, well, here are the grains. Please sit down and speak some words of God. And he would educate them in Krishna consciousness. Now, big houses, big ferocious dogs, What do you think will happen to the saints? They will just... Okay. No hope. And the people who are sitting inside themselves are not peaceful, most of the people. They are so restless. And the security guards are peacefully sleeping there. This is the situation. Why? Because they've accumulated so much. Now they need to protect it by keeping security guards. And security guards are working for them. So this is a problem. So much of problems. One of our preachers was preaching in IIT Delhi. So some of the professors got wild and they said, "You Hare Krishnas, you're always preaching to these educated class of people. Why? Why don't you go and do something for the poor people? Reduce poverty. Go and tell them and feed them and make them Krishna conscious." So this devotee said, "I am preaching poor people only. I am reducing poverty." "How are you reducing poverty? You are preaching to these wealthy people coming from well-to-do families?" He said, "No. These boys who are in Premier Institute, they are going to misuse their education and wealth. And because of their bad karma, they are going to be born in poor families in the next life. So by preaching to them now, I am reducing poverty tomorrow." So I said, "Really, that makes sense." Because every facility which is given by Krishna is actually an opportunity to render service to Krishna. But there is a tendency, whenever there is opulence, the mind is so tricky that it will misuse the opportunity. Therefore, the Shastra has explained that the mind is like a wild animal, just like you have in circuses. Many times you see, you know, these people, these ringmasters and all, they are like doing some stunts and, you know, moving the stick, and behind him is a lion, huge lion, and in front of him that circus master is so small. And he, with a small stick, he's moving and very happy, and he's not even concerned about the lion standing behind him. But actually, his one eye is on the lion. He's constantly observing the movements of the lion. And if he sees any mischief, he immediately looks up and shows his stick, and the lion is controlled. So this is exactly how one should control one's mind. Because the moment there is carelessness, then the mind will devour us and take us for a ride. Therefore, a very wonderful training is very important. A good association is very important to keep reminding us that in case we have an extra, then what are we supposed to do with it? So this is a very important teaching which Vamandev gives us. So it is said, "Nunam pramatta kurute." There is a verse which says that when you want to enjoy this world, Ichha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani kaunte sarge yanti parantapa. That because of this original desire in the spiritual world that the jiva makes to come and enjoy in this world, he comes here. And then he's stuck up in this world. So the seed which actually brings him to this world is that desire to enjoy. And this verse, "Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma," it is explained that when you want to enjoy this world, you are given a body, and this body is full of misery. So enjoyment is equal to body, body is equal to misery, which means enjoyment is equal to misery. This is the Vedic mathematics. Enjoyment gives body, body gives misery, so enjoyment is equal to Vedic mathematics. It's pretty simple to understand like that. So this is a very important thing. So therefore, how much ever you collect, it's not going to be sufficient if our senses are not controlled. Therefore, it is said, and the Gita explains, "Jayato vishyam pumsa sangasteshu bajayate, sangha sanjayate kama kama krodho bajayate." That if you have a desire, if you have greed, if you have lust, and if it is not fulfilled, it turns to anger. And if you fulfill it, then it turns to greed. But lust can never be satisfied. Therefore, simply to tolerate the unnecessary demands of the mind, and simply just to actually work for what is necessary, not to over-endeavor, but just to be fixed in our spiritual duties without compromising with our spiritual duties, is a very important principle. So, Vamandev now corroborates. He gives again examples from the Shastras, from the history. Even Krishna gives examples. Rishibir Bahudha Gitam, Chandobir Vividhai Pritak. Brahmasutra Padasheva Hetu Madbhir Vinashchite. So Krishna also says that just like in the Veda that is explained so and so, I will also give proofs from the Veda. So here now Vamandev is explained to Bali Maharaj that even the Shastra there have been examples of kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya, who actually were very wealthy, but they were very, very miserable. They were not completely satisfied. So therefore, even if you have everything in this world, you will not be satisfied. And as I was explaining the previous day, that there was an article in a magazine which published an article saying that how countries are realizing that even though a country is economically developing, the people are not any happier. They went to different countries performing a research. They went with their questionnaires asking people, are you happy? And they have a questionnaire like that. How are you happy? How would you rate your happiness? And they have a way of assessing how people are happy. And they found out, they plotted a graph, and they found that there were very wealthy countries who were miserable. There were poor countries that were miserable. There were wealthy countries that were also relatively happier, and there were poor countries who were also relatively happier. And they were confused to find that economic development or money does not determine whether people of that country are actually happy or not. Money has got nothing to do with happiness. This was the conclusion. And they were suggesting at the end that what exactly constitutes happiness. And they found that when they took research, it is not even money, it is not the age, it is not the education, it is not the genetic code, it is not television, it is not internet. It is none of these things that will make a person happy. And then the conclusion of that magazine was that it is relationships, that loving relationships which make people happy. And where do you find loving relationships? Only in spiritual circles. Wherever there is religious faith, there we see people very, very happy. Also, you find in places where people are dedicating their lives to social service, service to others. Wherever people are serving others, like these coast guards or these firefighters, even though they may not be getting very heavy pay, but they're very satisfied. Satisfaction is on a high level on that kind of professions. So they were very startling conclusions in that magazine. And then they thought, why not redefine progress? Because it is a wrong indicator. When you show progress of a country in terms of GDP or gross national product or gross domestic product, it indicates your country progressing, but you go into the country, you find miserable people. Like one of our devotees is coming from Switzerland. He was working in one of the Swiss banks. He was saying, beautiful place, every resource available, money, beautiful climate, but there are maximum depression cases in Switzerland. Why? Big question. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he saw there were hippies, and he said, look, this is a proof. Hippies, if there are hippies, means it's a proof that material advancement, economic development is not giving solutions to the people's demand of happiness. Because if there was money which can give you happiness, why are there hippies? So therefore, you accept Krishna consciousness, that is a solution. So it's very important. So therefore, countries are now started redefining what is progress. Instead of plotting their development on the basis of economic development, this is something called a happiness index, which they want to indicate as progress. So, people often they think that, okay, let us be religious, and they also go to gods to ask for benedictions. But we should understand, just like people, there are many devotees who go to Lord Shiva or various other demigods to ask for blessings so that they will be happy. But they don't understand that even the demigods, when they give you something, like for example, Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva has got Parvati as his wife. And Parvati is the goddess who is in charge of the whole material world. Everything in the material world belongs to her. And people are worshipping Lord Shiva, asking that, give me a big house, give me a so-and-so, give me this, give me that. and Lord Shiva is fulfilling every desire. But little do they realize that Lord Shiva is himself living under a tree. You want a house, Lord Shiva will give. But then why is Lord Shiva not residing in a tree? Why is he not residing in a house? Why is he under a tree? Because he considers it insignificant. If it was so valuable, then why would he not use it? Because he has his own wife at his command. Just like in the Bible also, Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, he was immediately arrested. So when he was arrested by the Romans, immediately one of his followers got so angry, he took out the sword and chopped off the ear of the soldier. So Jesus said, don't do that. If you will live by the sword, you will die by the sword. So that is not our process. Our process is to preach peacefully. And immediately he touched the ears of that soldier and it was healed. But later on he was crucified and he didn't use his power to get over his sufferings. Now people go to him for getting benedictions, curing the diseases, but we see that how they're not following what Jesus actually preached. So whatever facility one has to use in other service. That is what they did. Nothing for himself, but everything for others. That's what Lord Shiva is also doing. He's giving benedictions, but he himself is not using it because it is of no value. And whatever is there must be used in other service. Therefore, one must learn from these demigods rather than ask them from something. So, here we can see that how Vamandev is giving these instructions. Just like recently, there was huge procession of a demigod, and there was in the hundi about 100 crores of gold people put as donation. So how much people have faith on any demigod who fulfills one's material desires? So therefore it is explained that one must reduce one's necessity and feel like a king rather than increase our necessity and feel like a beggar. If you want nothing, you are like a king. What do you need? King doesn't need anything, isn't it? Why? Because he has everything. But if you just think, if you're satisfied, then you're a king. But if you're dissatisfied, you're a beggar. So this is a very important principle here. So, be satisfied. That is the purport. Be satisfied is what one has received by destiny. So here is again a sutra. Sukham aindrikam daitya deha yogena dehina. It is explained that just like miseries comes in a life, no one works for miseries, but still it comes. Similarly, happiness will also come in one's life. What is the need to endeavor for it? It will come on its own accord. There is no need to make unnecessary efforts for it. So here again, he quotes a very wonderful verse. Sukham atyantikam yat tat buddhi grayam atindriyam. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that real happiness is in spiritual life. Tapo divyam putrakayana sattvam shuddhi tasmat brahma saukhyam tunantam. That when you do tapasya, your heart is purified. When heart is purified, then you get spiritual happiness. So therefore, real happiness is there only in spiritual life, not anywhere else. Because when you achieve spiritual happiness, you don't want anything else. Everything appears insignificant. So this is a very important thing. People don't realize. Just like there was a man who was working very hard. Very hard he was working, and everything he would collect, and he would go into the bank and put it in his bank, deposit in his bank. And years over years, he would do that. Hard work, whatever little salary he had, he would go to the bank. Very carefully, he would put it in the bank. After 40 years of hard work, he goes to the bank because he had some disease and he thought, now let me withdraw for getting my remedy to pay the medical bills. And he goes and writes a check and the check bounces. The check bounced? What happened? Why did the check bounce? I had deposited from 40 years so much money. Where is that money gone? Let me see my account. And he says, account is zero. Account is zero? How is that possible? And he realized that so many years he was filling the money in his wrong bank account. He was putting it to someone else's bank account. So after 40 years he realizes he has nothing. It happens sometimes. Because it's happening with all of the conditioned souls in this world. Because wrong bank account means putting money into this body and to the things related with this body. Because ultimately we find that everything along with the body goes away. So it is quite instructive. Many times feel, who can make such a stupid mistake? Not possible. Impossible. How can 40 years, how can anyone make a mistake like this? Come on, it must be really foolish, isn't it? But the point of the thing is that every living entity makes this. In fact, when I was in the initial years of Krishna consciousness, one of the preachers, he made the statement, look, you all are MBAs. Imagine if there are two banks, one is Diwala Bank, Shashwat Bank, and you are told that which bank you are going to deposit your money, where will you put your money? Without thinking, of course, Shashwat Bank, why Diwala Bank? Impossible. Come on, what a stupid question. But then when we sit and realize, my God, everyone is putting money into the Diwala Bank only. Because his body is Diwala. And everything related to his body is also Diwala. Why are people doing it? You don't need an MBA degree to realize that. It's common sense. But still people are doing that. That is the amazing thing about this world is that we are covered so well that we don't even realize that we are covered. It's like that. So there is no happiness kept here. That is the thing. Therefore Krishna says, Mam upetya punar janma dukkhale mashashvatam. A brahma bona loka punar avartuno arjuna. Mam upetya kaunteya punar janma na vidyate. That if you achieve me, there is no need to come back into this world, Krishna is explaining. It's like a man goes to a shop to purchase a shoe. He looks in a shoe, chooses a shoe, and he finds, wow, this shoe is very nice. I would like to take this shoe. So he checks his pocket and he finds that he forgot to get his wallet. He finds, oh, I forgot my wallet. So he says, can I take this shoe? Tomorrow I'm coming this way only, and I will pay you for the shoe tomorrow. So that salesman, he says, okay. And he packs up the shoe and he gives it to him. So the boss looks at this man, says, how dare you have so much faith on this stranger who has come and you've given him the shoe? He says, no, sir, he will come back, sir. You foolish man, this is the training I gave you. No, sir, he'll come back. What, he'll come back? He's got the shoe and he's gone, you know, he's not paid you. Why should he come back here? Sir, because I put only one shoe in that box. He will surely come back. So it's like that. We're looking for happiness in this world, but Krishna is giving certificate. There's no happiness there. What are you looking for? I've not kept anything there. What are you looking for? What greater certificate do we want than the supreme creator of this world giving a certificate? Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So here we can see Vamandev again is giving this teaching to Vali. Again he says, a Brahman loses potency just as fire loses its luminosity when you sprinkle water on it. So therefore, for devotees to collect more than necessary, one loses the spiritual potency. Just as the fire loses its illuminating potency. So Shukracharya predicts. Now the next step. Vamandev has finished his teachings and is waiting for a response. And in the meanwhile, Shukracharya is speaking. Now, who is Shukracharya? As I explained, he is the Kulu Guru. He is the Kulu Guru. So he is the caste Brahmin who is giving directions, is acting as a spiritual master of Bali Maharaj. So now Shukracharya is speaking. Now you can understand what is the amazing power of Shukracharya. Standing there, he predicts the future. Shukracharya says, this person who has come as a midget is not an ordinary person. He is not a Brahman. He is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And he, within three steps, is going to take the whole universe when you promise him the giving charity, three steps of land. So therefore, don't give him because he is the Supreme Lord himself. So he exactly predicts what is going to happen before even the incident takes place. So we can understand what is the power, the knowledge and potency of Shukracharya. So here we can understand that even though we understand that Bali Maharaj rejected Shukracharya's instructions, so we can understand by this that how even though Shukracharya is such a powerful, learned scholar, but his motivation was wrong. Therefore, even though he was such a wonderful, educated person, we don't hear his glories in the Bhagavatam. So what is important is not knowledge, but character and motivation. In the Vedic times, more emphasis was given on character and motivation, values, culture, rather than simply knowledge. And today we find in these educational institutes, more and more emphasis is there given on just simply knowledge. Therefore, we see information, but no transformation. Absolutely no transformation of the heart. And if at all there is some transformation, it is for the bad. Isn't it? So this is the fact actually. So, therefore, if you see that, you know, engineers are all trained up in such advanced systems of calculation, and you tell a student that, look, I give you a problem. Here is a stone weighing 10 kilos, and it is, you have to throw it at an angle of theta to a man who is standing at 100 meters distance with a force of so and so, and you have to calculate in how much time it will reach and hit the head of that person. Write the question paper, 100% marks. Perfect calculation. But now if you ask a question in that question paper, now whether the stone needs to be thrown or not, out of syllabus. Zero. Why the stone has to be, that we are not trained. Why should we? Therefore, Martin Luther King, he predicted, he said, today we have guided missiles but misguided men. Guided missiles but misguided men. What do you think is going to happen? Recently, someone gave me one PowerPoint of a picture of a lady, she's cleaning the keyboard of a computer. And in the computer screen, there is a window popped up saying, nuclear war, yes, no. Two options are there. And she's cleaning the keyboard. Not really, you know, bothering about if she accidentally presses the button, yes, what's going to happen? So what happens is that when you have knowledge but you don't have wisdom, then it's going to be misused. So Shukracharya now is giving advice. Shukracharya, the great scholar, is giving advice to Bali Maharaj. He says, don't do yajna, dan, tapa if livelihood is at stake. Divide your property amongst religion, reputation for opulence, sense gratification and maintenance of family. Promise is valid if Om is chanted. If Om is not chanted, you need not give the charity. You have not chanted Om yet. You have just verbally told Vamandev that I will give you charity. So therefore, your promise is not yet valid. Body is a tree. If there is no tree, no fruits, no body, nothing. Preserve your body. You're going to lose it very soon. Don't give everything to the poor. Sometimes when poor comes, you should say, look, I don't have anything. Sometimes you can say that. It is within the Shastras. But of course, you should not keep on saying, I don't have anything, always. That is also condemned, which means Shukracharya is condemning professional beggars. And he's quoting a verse also. Sainam tatraisha hanyat. That means a person who says that I have nothing. Professional beggars are condemned. And here it is explained that they are even condemned to death. Such a person who lives simply by begging is condemned to death. So abominable to lead a life of life simply on the basis of begging. So, this is what it is, this is a fact. So, we can understand here. And then he says, finally, look, flattering. You can tell lies. When you can tell lies? When you have to flatter a woman to get her under your control, when she's out of control, or while joking, or during marriage ceremony, or while earning a livelihood, or when life is endangered. These are the situations when you can tell lies. Isn't it? When we can see even during some marriages or something. Like, boy will come in a car and people will look outside the window and say, "Are gaadi mein hai? He has a car. But he has borrowed the car from somewhere." What is your age? I'm 25. He's 35. How much is he educated? So and so, so and so, so and so. But he's not educated so much. What are your good qualities? Morning, so and so, so and so, so and so, so and so. Okay, what are your bad qualities? He tells lies. That's all. sort of problem, isn't it? We see that. I mean, it's practical. It happens. And it's recommended here. So they are all injunctions of Shastras. And we can see that how when a motivation is bad, one can quote anything from the Shastras. But therefore, the Shastras contain so many injunctions. What to follow? Therefore, there are lower injunctions and higher injunctions. But when one gives up a particular injunction, it should always be for following a higher, superior injunction. Otherwise, an injunction of the Shastra should not be given up. So he's quoting so many such injunctions from the Shastra, but we can see that the motivation is not right. Why? Now it is explained. Because Shukracharya was a Kula Guru and he was attached to his Dakshina. Because Bali Maharaj was worshipping him and maintaining him and looking after all his requirements. And he understood that if Bali Maharaj gives charity, he'll become a pauper. And what will happen is, I will also become a pauper. And my source of income is gone. Therefore, I must somehow withhold him from giving this charity. So he was more motivated about how he's going to get his Dakshina rather than what is the right thing to be done at that situation. So this was his motivation. In the Ramayana also, there is an incident of how Jabali, one of the great sages, who was in the assembly of Lord Ram, and when Lord Ram was banished to the forest, so this Jabali was saying that, look, Lord Ram, you are banished to the forest. Ultimately, what is life meant for? Life is meant for enjoyment, isn't it? Ultimately, life after death, soul, rebirth, who has seen? These all don't exist. They are just said in the Shastras, but who actually knows whether it is true or not? And ultimately, if you die, who's going to be the loser? You only. Why care for others? And Jabali, being a great sage, was speaking completely 100% atheistic philosophy, as many of the modern scientists speak. It was spoken millions of years ago by Jabali to Lord Ramachandra. He was speaking atheistic philosophy to the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Nothing new, actually. No credit for anything new about atheism, because everything has already been discussed in the Shastras. Even atheism has been discussed in great detail. And Lord Ramachandra looks at him and says, what are you speaking? If you give up all rules and regulations, there will be anarchy in this world. How dare you speak like this? And immediately all the assembly members come forward and pacify and appease Lord Ramachandra, saying that Jabali is speaking all this only to stop you from going to the forest. Because he loves you so much, at any cost, he doesn't want to see you go into the forest. That is his motivation. And Lord Ramachandra was internally very pleased. Externally, he was showing anger, because this is nonsense philosophy. So therefore, if one's motivation is right, even though you may be having wrong philosophy, it's okay. No problem. Because what is important is one's motivation. Because ultimately, knowledge does not really get you anywhere. Because it is ultimately devotion. Devotion is greater than gyan. So Bali Maharaj deliberated. Now Shukracharya has spoken, he's given his instructions that don't give charity. Don't give the charity to this boy. Now there is silence. Vamandev is waiting there, along with all his associates. On that side, Bali Maharaj is waiting, along with Shukracharya and all the demons assembled there. And there's a tense moment, there's a pause. There is a pause. Bali Maharaj is deliberating on what has been spoken. So why it is explained? Bali Maharaj is thinking of banishing or disobeying the instructions of his guru. He's thinking that I will give up my guru. Why? Because he's speaking against the scriptures. So Bali Maharaj thought, applied his intelligence. So here is a very important lesson, that one must be independently thoughtful. Srila Prabhupada also encouraged that when we accept Krishna consciousness, we should be independently thoughtful. We must think for ourselves that what is the benefit of practicing this Krishna consciousness. Not just simply because everyone is doing it, I will also do it. No, but one has to apply one's intelligence and think about it. So, just like there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a lady disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and she wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that, Srila Prabhupada, I am taking care of Tulsi. So please tell me that should I use my fingers or should I use scissors? So Srila Prabhupada wrote back, use your brains. Wrote back, use your brains. So we have to be independently thoughtful. We have to understand the essence of the scriptures and be able to apply the principles of religion according to time, place and circumstance. This is what is the intention. So Bali Maharaj was not taken away by fear or by force of circumstance or by the, you know, false proposals of his guru. So he independently thought, applied his knowledge about the shastras and came to the right conclusion. He decided, I'll give up this person. So here, Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Mahabharata says, bogus gurus should be rejected. Jiva Goswami says, give up the, if your family priest is not giving you Krishna consciousness, the family priest can be abandoned, should be given up, and a bona fide guru should be accepted. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, he quotes, Shat karma nipuno vipuro mantra tantra visharadha avaishnavo guru nasyad vaishnav shvapacho guru. That even if a Brahman is educated in all the six systems of Vedic processes, of Vedic rituals, expert in performing yajnas, chanting mantras, this and that, he's got all the knowledge of the shastras, but if he does not know the conclusion, that is to surrender to Krishna, if he is a Vaishnava, he is not guru. But Vaishnava Shvapacho Guru, if there is a Shvapach who is a dog eater, who is the lowest among human beings, but if he is Vaishnava, if he is surrendered to Krishna completely, he can be accepted as guru. This is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is essential is, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sai Guru Hai. Whoever knows Krishna is a guru. So this is a very important principle. So therefore it is explained in the Shastras. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, devam na sasyat, patis na sasyat, na mochetya samupetya mrityum. That he is not a guru, he is not a father, he is not a mother, he is not a relative, he is not a demigod if he does not deliver you from the clutches of death. And we can see that guru na sasyat, is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, guru na sasyat. Here we can see Bali Maharaj rejecting the guru, because the guru is not telling him about Krishna. He is not telling him to surrender to Krishna when Vamandev is present right in front of him as a supreme personality of Godhead, and he is telling him not to surrender. Guru na sasyat. Swajano na sasyat. Your relatives, it is explained in the Shastra, even if your own relatives tell you that don't surrender to Krishna, then also there is an injunction, one should give it up. And what is the proof in the Shastras? Vibhishan, he gave up his own brother, Ravan, because he was fighting against Lord Ram. So he said, you are not my brother. You cannot be my brother. Give up your association. And he went to Lord Ramachandra's party. So he surrendered to Lord Ramachandra when he knew that he was on the side of Adharma. Pitana sasyat. We can see that a father cannot be a guru if he is not telling about Krishna or is not allowing you to surrender to Krishna. And we can see from the Shastra that Prahlad Maharaj rejects his own father, Hiranyakashipu, who happened to be the forefather of Bali. Janani na sasyat. So here Prahlad Maharaj actually given an example that he rejected his father, and here is another example of he rejecting his guru for the sake of Krishna consciousness. Janani na sasyat. Give up one's mother if she discourages you from Krishna consciousness. And what is that example? Of Bharat Maharaj. When Kaikeyi banished Lord Ram to the forest, Bharat Maharaj said, I reject you because you have done a very bad thing. And Devam na sasyat. Giving up the association, even the demigod, if it is not conducive for Krishna consciousness. That is the Vrajbasis. And Pati na sasyat, even the gopis, Pati na sasyat, even if the husband tells us that don't go to Krishna, don't surrender to Krishna, then they also have to be given up. And the example is in the Shastras about the gopis, the Vraj gopis, who gave up their family for the sake of surrender to Krishna. So this is a very important principle, that who is a guru? So we can see yesterday in the morning I was giving one class, and in that I was explaining that how we were conducting a preaching program in Sion, in one college, Somaya Information Technology Engineering College. And there, some boys attended a one-time session and people attended, they appreciated. And later on in the break, some boys came to meet us and we distributed them prasad, and they very happily, smilingly accepted the prasad, put it in a plastic bag and said, "Oh, thank you very much, Prabhuji, for the prasad." And they continued eating the lunch, but they didn't take the prasad. So I was not the main preacher there. I just happened to go a one-time speaker. So one of another brahmacharis, Nityanand Prabhu, was there. So I was preaching to them. And I was just observing, why is he not taking the prasad? I mean, and they were from respected Brahmana family also, seems like that. And they were taking prasad and speaking nicely. And then later on I asked, why are they not taking prasad? So he said, probably their parents told them you should not take this Hare Krishna's prasad. Because probably they do something or something. And another boy I met, and he said, why are you not coming for the programs? We are having so many programs. And he said, you know, my parents told me that these Hare Krishnas want to make you brahmachari. They make everyone brahmacharis, it seems. So that is not good. So this is the kind of... And many times we see that it's no problem. If you go to the theatres, you go to the restaurants and bars and cinema theatres, and no problem. But if you come to the temple, that's bad. This is the kind of preaching which is going on. So if you don't preach Krishna consciousness, someone will preach something else, Maya. So here is an instruction that how one must listen to Krishna. One must listen to Krishna. That is a very important instruction here. So Bali now speaks. Now let us hear what Bali Maharaj is going to speak. So Bali accepts it as a lower principle. He says, whatever you have spoken is true, but it is a lower principle. Highest principle is surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Krishna is telling you, abandon dharma, give up religion. What is this? Krishna is telling you to give up religion. For what? Sarva dharma, mam ekam sharanam vraja. This is the topmost religion, to surrender to Krishna. So Bali Maharaj understood the essence. Once Srila Prabhupada met a person and he was expert. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I can recite all the 700 verses of the Gita front to back to front in 1 hour. Prabhupada said, okay, good. Now you start living the teaching of the Gita for 1 hour. Can you do that? Live at least for 1 hour the teaching of the Gita. Can you do that? That is very difficult. So therefore, just memorization or just knowledge simply is not sufficient. One has to actually follow the essence to surrender to Krishna. So here it is explained by Bali Maharaj. Sachaham vitta lobhena pratya chakshe katham dvijam pratishrutya dadamiti praharadi kitavo yatha. Sachaham vitta lobhena, that why should I, out of greed for some money, kitavo yatha, just like an ordinary thief, cheater, refuse giving charity when I am coming in the dynasty of Praradhi, of Prahlad, who was a very generous king and a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Why should I stop it? Why should I stop from giving charity just for greed for some money? Now here we can understand immediately from the attitude of Bali Maharaj that he was a great devotee of Krishna. Bali Maharaj was a demon, born in a demon family, but here we can understand the moment he spoke that now he knows that he is a Vishnu and still he wants to give charity to Vishnu, wants to surrender everything to Vishnu. He was a great devotee of Krishna. Now how is a great devotee? So Prabhupada explains in the purport, there are two kinds of siddhas or devotees. One is Kripa Siddh and one is Sadhana Siddh. Sadhana Siddh are those people who perform sadhana and become pure devotees of Krishna. And those are Kripa Siddh who just by the mercy of Krishna, when you don't see them performing any sadhana, but still they are completely pure and pure devotees of Krishna. And here it is explained that Bali Maharaj was a Kripa Siddh. He had received the mercy of Krishna directly. And therefore there was no need for him to do any tapasya. But actually Kripa Siddh or Sadhana Siddh, whatever Siddh, but ultimately both are Kripa Siddh. Because it's not that by doing sadhana you will get Krishna. Because ultimately everything is Kripa only. But here he had received the mercy of Prahlad, and he had received the mercy of Krishna. And therefore we can see that how mercy of a devotee is very important to become a pure devotee. If we get a mercy of Krishna, then directly things become so simple. Or else we can keep on doing sadhana, sadhana, sadhana and still not get Krishna. So the essence of sadhana is yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. Just if you please the guru, then we can get Krishna. That is the essence. So here is again, we can understand that how a great lineage, it helps. Great lineage helps. So here Bali Maharaj is drawing from his lineage. He's saying, Prahlad, my forefather has been Prahlad, my grandfather has been Prahlad, and such a great saint, such a great devotee of the Lord has appeared in my dynasty, and you're telling me to not give my wealth just because of some greed? So here is how important it is to set a good example. Because Prahlad Maharaj set us such a good example that we can see that even in his dynasty there are good examples coming up. This is a very important principle. That how, if we become devotees, then how even there is great hope for all our generations to come to be devotees. To setting a good example is a very important principle. Just like once in a family, mother and father were going for a movie. And he said, my dear son, sit and study. We are going for a movie. Son said, what is that? I also want to come. No, no, you cannot come. When you become big, you should come. Not now. You should study. And by the way, only those who have mustache can go for movies. The son looked at his mother and said, my mother doesn't have mustache. How she's going for a movie? So many times, one thinks that, how our actions are going to affect people? Really, it doesn't really matter. But when we see that subtly everyone gives out vibrations, and there are vibrations everywhere around us. When we are pure, we give out subtle vibrations which are very pure and affect people around us. We may think no one is affected, who's seeing? But it has an impact. Therefore, setting a good example is very important, because values are caught and not taught. So, as there is a saying that preach the whole day and sometimes speak a few words. Which means that we preach by actions, and then sometimes when you have to say something, you say also. So, actions speak louder than words is the essence. So, here in the Bali Maharaj's words, Bali Maharaj is saying that the earth can't bear the weight of a liar. Earth can bear the weight of big mountains, but the earth can't bear the weight of a liar. So we can understand how heavy, how burdened the earth may be today. So fear of, he said, I fear no one. I don't fear hell. I don't fear poverty. I don't fear oceans of distress. I don't fear falling down from my present position, but I fear cheating a Brahman or a Vaishnav. This is Bali Maharaj's greatest fear. So therefore, it's a great lesson to learn. Even if a Brahman dissatisfied, still no harm. Now he's giving logic. Look, you are saying that if I give, Vamandev will not be satisfied, and he will ask for the third step, and he will punish you also for it. So in any case, giving will not satisfy him. This is your logic. So Bali Maharaj is saying, even if this Brahman is dissatisfied, even if I give him everything, what is the point? Because in any case, death is going to take away everything. Charity I have to give, either by force or voluntarily. Everyone has to give charity, either by force or by voluntary, out of love. So he's saying, why not give? Here he is. So it's a very important lesson. That everyone has to give, so why not give lovingly? So Krishna says, Mrityu sarvaharascha aham. That death is me, Krishna says. Krishna can be perceived as various forms, either through the deity or through the death. Kalosmi lokakshay prakrit pravriddo. Krishna is also present in the form of time. So it depends, whom do we want to surrender to? Which form of Krishna we want to surrender to? Ultimately, we all have to give up everything. So this is what it is. So then why not give out of love? This is Bali Maharaj. I have to give up everything. In any case, it's going to go. I cannot keep it with me. So why not here, when Supreme Lord Sakshat is present in front of me? In the form, personal form, when he's present in front of me, why should I not give? Why should I give to the form of death? So once this was a man who was dying. And he asked his dying man, and he asked his relatives, that where is my wife? And his wife came, and where's my son? Where's my daughter? Where's my second son? And then slowly he said, Pitaji, they're all here. They're very close to you. They're all here only. Don't worry. So where's my servant? And where's my friend? Where is it? So they're all here. Everyone is here. Then who's at the shop? Who's standing at the shop? So much is the worry. People are so attached. Ultimately for what? For something which is going to be taken away at death. So he's now giving Shastra. Bali is also giving Shastra. He says, Dadichi and Sibi, the great kings, have given their own bodies for the sake of service to others. So why not give? Wealth is lost in any case, but one should live for reputation. So one has to work to establish a good name in this world. And the best name is, who's the most famous? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, who's the most famous person in this world? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a devotee of Krishna is the most famous person in this world. So therefore, one should make the mission of one's life to work for fame. One should become famous, the most famous person in the world, as a devotee of Krishna. Wealth is in any case going to go, but one will still continue to live by their reputation. So then here it is explained. In the purport, Gita is quoted here by Prabhupada. He says, Dātavyam iti yad dānam diyate nupakārine deshe kāle cha pātri cha yad dānam sātvikam smritam. That what is good charity is charity when you give in the proper time, at the proper place, with the right attitude to the right person. This is good charity. Just like even in the Bible it is said, when you give with your right hand, your left hand should not know. Because when you give, we are giving for the pleasure of Krishna and not anyone else. But when we give charity for everyone to know that, look, I have given this charity, that means you are not trying to please Krishna entirely. Certainly one will get benefit by giving, but one has actually given for one's self-respect. To that degree to which you have not given to Krishna, to that degree one will not get the benefit. But when we give secretly, then Krishna is seeing secretly and he will give the benefit. And here Bali Maharaj is saying, the right time is there, right place is there. And I want to keep a good attitude, and the best person is here. The best person means Krishna personally is here to give charity. So here we can understand, the best place to give charity is to give to the mission of Krishna consciousness. Nowhere else. Bali Maharaj didn't give anywhere else. Here, there. And as Shukracharya had also recommended, there are so many places where you can give charity. But he said, no, here is the charity. Everything I will give to this person, that is Vamandev. So he says, Bali Maharaj, whether he has come to punish me or he has come to reward me, but I must follow his instructions. I must obey him. So here again we can understand, we must obey Krishna's instructions. So now the question is that, why did Krishna disguise himself? Because we can understand from this point, at this point, that Bali Maharaj was a pure devotee, and Krishna also knew it, that he was a pure devotee. What is the need for the Lord to come and disguise the form of a do-off? So here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary saying that, and Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the purport, saying that just to joke with Bali Maharaj, just like sometimes the father may joke wearing a Santa Claus or some kind of dress and comes at home, and the son may get a shock, a jhatka or something, and say, oh my God, who's this person? And then he'll be looking, he's my father, is it? And then the father will be, and the son will be, it seems like he's my father, but still he's frightened. But he, in his heart of heart, knows that he's my father. So similarly, sometimes in the joking nature, Lord also performs such activities. So Lord came in the form of Vaman. So Shukracharya curses now Bali. Now Bali Maharaj has said, I'm going to give charity. No matter what you say, I'm going to give charity. Shukracharya becomes very upset and he says, you give charity despite me telling you not to? I curse you that you will lose everything that you have in this world. You will become a pauper. You will become a kangal. Bali Maharaj says, to hell. To hell with your curse. He doesn't care a fig for what Shukracharya cursed him. So Bali Maharaj, disciple, had more understanding than his guru. His guru had less knowledge than Bali Maharaj. Disciple had more. How?
Prabhupada says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayandite. That simply, if you are engaged in Krishna's service, then you get all the necessary information to surrender and go back home, back to Godhead. Tesham aham agyanajam tamaha nashyami atma bhavasto jnana deepena vashvata. That when Krishna is pleased by our service, seeing that he is sincere, within the heart, he will give knowledge. This is the essence. So Bali never cared. So Prabhupada writes, Bali never cared for the caste Brahmins. So Prabhupada, when he was preaching in the West, he received a lot of criticisms because Srila Prabhupada was giving a lot of initiations, sannyas initiations to the Westerners and even giving Brahmin initiation to the Matajis. And this is nowhere in the Vedic tradition. I said, what is this? Ridiculous. There is no Ganga in the West. Why is he preaching in the West? And there were many caste Brahmins who were criticizing him at that time. So he said, just like Bali Maharaj never cared for caste Brahmins, we also don't care for them if they are opposing the Krishna consciousness movement. So, here we can see that he has cursed to become a pauper. But Bali Maharaj is fearless, as it is explained. Why is fearless? Maya Das Sada Udas, Krishna Das Bindas. Because he's got nothing to fear. Therefore it is explained. Narayana Parayana Nakutasena Bibhiti Swarga Apavarga Narkeshu Abituliartha Darshanam. Where he is in hell or he is anywhere, he doesn't have to fear. As it is said in English, there is a saying, a happy person is not a person in a certain set of circumstances, but he is a person with a certain set of attitude. And Vaishnava is always Krishna conscious. For him, what is Nark, what is Swarg, and what is Apavarg, what is liberation? Doesn't make any difference. Wherever he will go, he will get service of Krishna, that's all he thinks. In fact, he prefers hell than Apavarg. He prefers hell than liberation. Why? Because in hell, he gets association of Yamaraj, and he's a pure devotee of Krishna. There also, there's some pure. But in liberation, there is no devotee of Krishna. So that is worse than hell. So therefore, a devotee prefers to go to hell. That is no problem. As long as he gets association of devotees, that is his only consideration. So, another reason why a devotee is never fearless is because Krishna's benedictions are eternal. Therefore, we see that many times we see that demons are worshipping the demigods and demigods appear and they say, "Give me immortality." And the demigod will say, immortality? Even I am not immortal, how can I make you immortal? No demigod has the potential of giving immortality. Only Krishna can give immortality. Therefore, all the benedictions received also are temporary. But when Krishna gives, it is eternal. Therefore, when the devotee knows that what Krishna has given me is eternal, where is the question of fear? Because what Krishna gives comes with us every lifetime. Svalpamapyasya dharmase trayato mahato bhayat. That within little bit of Krishna consciousness, one can be free from all fear. So Bali gives land. Before that, his wife comes with a pot of water. And Bali Maharaj, with great love and devotion, he washes the feet of this beautiful dwarf Vamandev. Midget Vamandev. And he beautifully does Abhishek of the feet of Vamandev. And seeing the simplicity of the service of Bali Maharaj, all the demigods are so pleased that they shower flowers on the head of Bali Maharaj. So simplicity is a very important attitude. That when we are simple, which means that which does not prevent us from doing any kind of service for Krishna, it requires great humility and simplicity and purity, then that is very pleasing to the demigods. We can understand that when Bali Maharaj was offering that water to wash the feet of Vamandev, the demigods were so pleased. So this is how it is. And later on it is explained that the Lord expands. Now he takes his three steps. Bali Maharaj takes water in his hands, puts it down, he says, take your three steps of land. And immediately Vamandev expands himself. He becomes so huge that with two steps he covers the entire universe. Lower, middle and upper planetary systems. Nothing left. Everything is covered. And while he was expanding himself, it is explained that Bali Maharaj saw in the form of the Lord everything, every universe, every planet, every atom, all the demigods, everything that existed in the universe he saw in the various parts of the body of the Lord. Why did Vamandev give that kind of darshan? Because he wanted to show that everything already belongs to me. Everything is already in me. I don't need anything from you. So here is the example. Just like when you go to the Ganga to worship, there is a process. You take Ganga water and offer it to the Ganga. Now you are taking Ganga water, offering to the Ganga. What benefit is there? But still you get benefit of becoming, being called as a devotee of Ganga. So similarly, Prabhupada explains, just like when you worship Krishna, it's like worship, it's like decorating your face. When you decorate your face, you look into the mirror and your image also gets decorated. But if you stand in front of the mirror and you think, wow, I will look so beautiful, let me put something, and you start making decorations on the face, and you move, it's gone. The decoration is all gone. So doing anything for ourselves is like this. It does not give us happiness. It will not give us happiness. It will not give us fulfillment. Only when we serve Krishna, then there is complete fulfillment in life. So here we can see this. So Ganges is what? Is that Charnamrit which Bali Maharaj washes the feet of Vamandev. That is Ganga. In certain other places, in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that when Vamandev stretched his foot, it hit the covering of the universe, and that shell cracked and Viraj River entered into the universe, and that is Ganga. And also in another place, it is explained that Lord Narayan personally expanded himself in the form of Ganga. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that all these three are Ganga. The Charnamrit washed by Bali Maharaj, the Viraja River water, as well as the expansion of Lord Narayan. Immediately, when all the demons assembled on the part of Bali Maharaj, on the side of Bali Maharaj, saw that everything was gone, they immediately attack Vamandev and attack all his associates. And immediately Garud comes and seeing that this is the disposition, immediately binds up Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is bound up by Varuna Pash. And Bali Maharaj is calling out to soldiers, don't fight, don't attack him, release, don't attack. But they don't listen and they still go ahead. And immediately all the associates of the Lord immediately go and massacre all the soldiers of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was very humble in such a situation. He was completely humiliated, insulted and deprecated, and various ways he was had to face a lot of reversals. He lost all his wealth and he was thoroughly humiliated. But in the face of so much of humiliation, not just in front of his soldiers, his kingdom, but his family, everyone, in front of everyone, he was severely humiliated and insulted. And he was in a miserable situation. He was wound up completely. And in such a situation also, he did not give up his resolve to surrender to Krishna. He did not give up his resolve to worship Vamandev. So his attitude was still favorable. You know, generally it happens when we face reversals, we forget Krishna. And there are very difficult times. At that time we think, you know, is God there or what? Why is he so cruel to me? Why is God doing this to me? So here we can see the resilience, that in no situation a pure devotee ever complains. So that's why it is explained that that how it is very important to be resilient and have faith in every situation. So next we see that that Bali Maharaj showed such a caliber, high caliber of surrender. And when we follow in his footsteps, then we can also achieve the same kind of surrender. And Prabhupada writes, Tatte anukampa susumikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam. That we should also be tolerant in adverse circumstances. And when we fold our hands in the most trying situations of our life, and we pray to Krishna that this is your mercy. This is your mercy. If you are able to do that, if you are able to fold our hands in the most difficult situation, most intolerable and difficult situations, and say that, Krishna, this is your mercy, then that is success. So we need leaders like Bali Maharaj to give us this. So today we see that the leaders are not people like them, like Bali. And we see the situation. There are so many politicians, there are so many scientists leading the country. But what we find, there are more and more problems. We need more people. Prabhupada writes, we need more people like Bali. We need people to follow in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj. So on such a situation, Brahma comes there, ascends and that's on that scene and makes a request to Vamandev. And he comes and he says, O Lord, he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. You are pleased just by Patram Pushpam Phalam and Toyam. Krishna says in the Gita, simply by devotion you are pleased. Then here is Bali Maharaj, who's offered everything what he had, the whole three world, and still you are not satisfied. What is this contradiction? Please be satisfied. Release him. You tested him enough. Please, enough. So Vamandev now instructs, he gives wonderful instructions. He says, human birth is a rare one. And it is explained that after many, many millions of births, Jivatma achieves a human form of life. And in that human form of life, one has to become sincere in Krishna consciousness. If he does not, he wastes his human form and goes back into the animal form of life. So deprivation of wealth is not special mercy. Vamandev explains that just if many times, you know, people, you know, devotees, when they preach, they say, you know, Hari, Hari is, you know, what does it mean by Hari? Hari means har leta hai. Tumhara dhan bhi chhin lega. Surrender to Krishna. So it's not like that always. Here Vamandev is explaining that special mercy is what? When Krishna takes away what you have, yasyaham anugrahnami harishyetat dhanam shane. That when he has special mercy on his devotees, he takes away what a devotee has. But here Vamandev is explaining what is even more mercy is when a person has everything but he's still not proud. You have fame, strength, you have knowledge, you have beauty, you have renunciation, you have riches, but still you are not proud. This is the Lord's greatest mercy. When you have everything, it's not necessary to lose anything. But if we just have the right attitude, then we can have everything and serve Krishna. So, like that. Then we can see that how Srila Prabhupada, when he used everything in Krishna's service, he gave so much. You know, when Srila Prabhupada was going to the West, Gaurang Prabhu says this wonderful pastime, that some of the businessmen said, Prabhupada, you are such a famous businessman that you went with 40 rupees, you made $40 million, you are a very big businessman. So Prabhupada said, yes, in that case, why don't you join me? Join me. Join my business. Give up your business, join my business. So this is what it is. So deprivation of wealth is not a special mercy. Greater than that is having everything, still being humble. Difficulties are Krishna's examinations. We must tolerate them. Just like we go for examinations, we have to tolerate. But what happens is, as a result, examinations distinguish who is a topper and who is a failure. If you are sincere, you will be glorified as a topper. And if you are not sincere, you will not have any face to show to this world. So examinations differentiate the good from the bad. So if we are sincere, the same test will act as a pedestal to pelt us up. So one may think, even strength to tolerate is given by Krishna. Here Vamandev is explaining, even the strength to tolerate is given by Krishna. It is not that when we are tolerant that we can be proud that, okay, I have surrendered to Krishna in the most trying situation. That strength also comes by Krishna. And then Vamandev explains that because he is a great devotee of mine, even though I have punished him like this, but I reward him to become Indra in the next yuga cycle at the age of Savarana Manu. During the age of Savarana Manu period, he will be, Bali will be the next Indra, the king of the heavens. And he gives Bali Maharaj, he tells him that because you have not given me the third step, because I have already covered the whole universe with my two steps, there is no place to keep my third step. You have not given me, I will push you to the hellish planets. Because to promise charity and not to give it, you have to incur sin. Bali Maharaj says, you keep your foot on my head. And he gives his head, offers his head. So he says that I will give you a place in hell, I will push you to hell, but in hell I will make special accommodation. In hell only, I will make an accommodation which will be so wonderful, it will be better than heavenly planet also. So it is, though in hell, Sutala Loka is in hell, but it is such an opulent place that even demigods are envying that place. And Vamandev told him that don't worry, that place will be having no disease, no death, and there will be no attacks from anyone. And if anyone attacks you, my Sudarshan Chakra will kill them. And not only that, you will get my special association, I'll be your doorkeeper. And you'll get my association, you'll see me every day. Coming out, going in, you'll see me. So this was Krishna's reward ultimately. So we can understand that when you give to Krishna, You don't lose, you gain. You don't lose, you gain. And this is the, again, Vedic mathematics. In material world, 3 minus 1, 2. Spiritual world, 3 minus 1, 3. And Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 3 minus 1 is 4. Krishna conscious mathematics. Well, it works like that. And we can see how he gave, Bali Maharaj gave, but he got a lot more. And that is Krishna's reward to him. So with that, we come to an end of this reading of Vamadev pastime. So similarly, if we can just follow and give Krishna at least the chanting of the holy names with sincerity, you know, then that will be a great benediction. That will be a great opportunity for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said, just chant Hare Krishna and you will be happy. Just chant Hare Krishna and you will be happy. Just like Vamandev cheated Bali. So actually cheating is in parampara. Cheating is also in parampara. Because here we can see that Vamandev is cheating Bali. And Prabhupada was once asked by his disciples, how did we become such great devotees? We were so disqualified. Prabhupada said, I cheated you. And our devotees also do the same sometimes. Like during one book distribution party, they had put one bus at one place. And one man came and said, he thought that that bus was belonging to some other spiritual organization who sell medicines. So they said, "Arey, wo pet ke dard ke liye dawai hai kya? You have the medicine for my stomach pain?" He said, "Stomach pain? Yes, yes, we have nectar of instruction." Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udar upastha vegam etan vegan yovishaheta dhira sarvam cha abhimam prithvim cha shishyat. See, stomach is here, stomach. Stomach na? Pet mein dard hai na? Ye dekho, ye perfect prescription hai, isko padho. Proper cure milega. Achha, wonderful. Thank you very much. Takes the book and he goes. And if he would have told, we don't sell medicines, how would he have sold the book? Sometimes it helps. One devotee book distributor was selling books and one person came and he said, Gita kitne ka hai Gita? 70 rupees. 70 rupees for Gita? Then another press is selling the Gita for 20 rupees. You are selling for 70 rupees. The devotee was thinking, how to convince him? So he said, look, that Gita, what it contains? Us Gita mein kya hai? Sir, shlok hai. Shlok hai na? Shlok ke liye kitna? 20 rupay na? Abhi isme kholo. What is there in this? Shlok hai, anuvad hai, tatparya hai. Shlok is there, translation is there, purport is also there. 20 rupees for shloka and 50 rupees for purport and translation. 20 plus 50 is how much? 70. Barabar ho gaye ki nahi? Haan. Take this book. Purchase it. So people want to see the logic in it. When they see the logic, when they see the calculation, it makes sense. Eh? Transcendental cheating process. Simply chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. Really? Okay. Then when we come and we hear four regulator principles also, really? And then like this. And then associate also, books also, chanting also, and diet also. Oh, really? But we are not told all this. Just simply chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. So this is what it is. But it is blissful. It's not so bad. But just that people have those, conceptions. You know, they've been brainwashed in such certain negative ways that if you tell them that, this is what all you have to follow, then people get a little worried. Just like a small student is there. If you tell him, when you go to PhD level, these are the big books you'll have to study. He'll say, really? And he'll run away from school. No study. These are the books I'm going to study. So you'll get unnecessarily afraid. So no problem. Just come, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. And that's actually the way. So if you just do that much, simply, so simple, that's all that it takes, isn't it? But still, this simple process, just chant Hare Krishna, so difficult. Like, Prabhupada gives that anecdote. He says, a lady was told by her son, Mother, you are become old, you're going to die. Chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Bolo, Hare Krishna. And she's looking and says, Baba re baba, itte baro naam, itte bolte parbo na. Such a big name I cannot say. And if you calculate Baba Re Baba, Itte Boro Nam Itte Bolte Parbona. So many words she's spoken, but she can't say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna will not come out. This is the attitude. It's like Radha Gopinath Prabhu was saying at once, you know, in a six session course, he says that, you know, when people come, once he came first time for some kirtan program, he saw everyone dancing, and so he thought, I will not dance, what is this? And he was standing behind, and the person who was doing the kirtan stopped the kirtan and said, you know who, poor people who cannot chant? They are the sinful people, because they have got huge loads of sins, that's why they cannot chant. So Gopinath Prabhu was saying that, yeah, just to prove that I'm not sinful, I will chant, and I will dance. So he raised his hand and started dancing, and we see that. And it's a fact that people cannot. Like once I was in one college and I was trying to preach, and we had a morning session. We called all the students, gave them the malas, and said, please chant Hare Krishna, no problem. And so one boy, all of them assembled, but one boy especially is very adamant, he will not chant. I said, please chant Hare Krishna. Bolo, Hare Krishna. So everyone was chanting, he was holding the bead and he was not chanting. I said, Hare Krishna. Bolo, Hare Krishna. I just wanted to test the efficacy. The Shastra says if you are sinful, you can't chant. Hare Krishna bolo. And he was, hey, hey, hey. I said, what happened? What's the problem? I said, bolo na, Hare Krishna. Just say. So he's holding. Hare Krishna bolo. Simple. Says, Hare Krishna. Hey. And he's just sitting there, he's not chanting. Then I realized, my God, how difficult it is just simply to chant Hare Krishna, is it? But one thing's for sure, that he was very ecstatic for prasad. And after prasad, one great haribol, he says. Haribol. And that is success, isn't it? So this is the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, that it is no tapasya, it is just blissful chanting of Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for being so tolerant and so patient. So with that, we come to a conclusion here. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much, and forgive me for any offenses if I have spoken beyond my realizations. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Thank you, Akinchan Prabhu, for a wonderful class. There is one more good news for all the devotees, that this coming Tuesday, on the Bhaktivinoda Thakur appearance day or disappearance? Appearance day, and Wednesday is Haridas Thakur disappearance day, Anant Chaturdashi. So we have a wonderful devotee with us, gracing the occasion, so we are going to